This is NBL Overtime, all thanks LD Mobile. Hashtag NBL Overtime to get involved. And you know we are getting close to a season when Liam Santamaria is writing opening night stories on NBL.com.au. We're getting excited. We've had obviously an interesting week. Couple of teams have had to relocate, but that's 2020 for you as we welcome the crew in. Homicide, what up?
What's going on, family? How are you?
You good. You good.
I'm fantastic.
You psyched?
I'm happy. We're here. Let's go.
Liam Santamaria. Hello to you.
Hello. Do you guys have a good Christmas? Do you throw some wine back?
Yeah, we do some wine back.
Define some. Yes, we hope you all had a very merry and festive Christmas as well. But the excitement, I think, is really starting to build. And while I say it a little tongue-in-cheek, when we are reading opening night rosters and what needs to happen in the next 10 days, we do get excited to throw down the tickets in Bendigo are on sale January 10. And this, in a much different location than we ever thought we'd see opening night when it comes to the NBL, is exciting. Two teams going at it. The joint's going to be packed. Exciting.
I'm excited. I'm just glad basketball is back. Mm-hmm. I know the fans are excited, the coaches, everybody's excited. So let's just get it on. I'm just ready to go.
Yeah, for sure. There's going to be so much different this mm-hmm. season, right? Like, expect the unexpected when it comes to this season because, you know, we've got teams, Sydney and the Kings are in Albury, New Zealand's in Melbourne. Teams are all over the shop. The opening game, like you say, is going to be in Bendigo, but that's how it's going to be. You're going to need to be on your toes. You're going to need to be adaptable this season if you're going to succeed.
But I think as not just as athletes, but as fans and as people, we've become conditioned to that in 2020. Mm. So when we hear that on Boxing Day, the Hawks and the Kings have to jump in their cars and rather than celebrate and get ready for a season, they're going to Albury. We kind of just accepted it because that's 2020 in a nutshell. But we'll start with the Hawks. Because I love Brian Gorgian's article. He spoke to Roy Ward and spoke about the fact it's like a boot camp for us. We've got not as many families with the makeup of our team. We don't have to worry about, but you don't have obviously kids and families you've got to think about as well. These kids, pretty much, are just jumping on the road. And I love that article. And Gorge, who is perfect, even when he's got the best team in the league, is like, we are the underdogs. And that's how he seems like he's taking it on here.
Yeah. Look, it's very disruptive for both of those teams, right? That they don't get to prepare for the start of the season in their usual way, in their usual settings. But you're right, you've got to change the mentality of your team to, oh my God, we're dealing with all of this disruption, to this is an opportunity. Let's turn this into a positive. And Gorge obviously is the absolute master at that. It helps if you've got a young squad full of kind of single guys that aren't leaving families or kids behind, and they can just kind of treat it like that. And they do have that type of squad for the most part. A little bit different for the Kings, you know, Brad Newley and Daniel Kickett and these guys leaving kids and family and trying to make that move. But you're right, that's the way to approach it. And they're loving life in Albury.
I think this year has brought a level of, as you said, uncertainty and the ability or the inability to adjust. Mm-hmm. And the people that survive and thrive during this time and this season will be the team that can collectively adjust. And this is basically what they're going to have to do. So the cream is going to rise to the top. Whoever can adjust under these conditions will do well.
See, I think that 2020 and everything with the longest offseason we've had and everything that's been thrown at everybody, it has kind of diminished how big of a deal this is. Now, it's still a pain in the backside, don't get me wrong, but I think when we've been sitting around waiting for a season, be it, you know, reduce money, if we're going to be able to leave lockdown and quarantine, relocating 2 weeks out before the season doesn't hit home as it would as much in a normal season. We've already seen New Zealand get to Australia a couple of weeks ago, and I liked what you wrote in your article. They need a Tasman bubble. But you are right. The cream rises to the top. We've actually seen it in other sports, the AFL and the NRL, both teams that won the whole thing were teams that relocated for the whole of the year. So while it is a pain in the backside, I still think that the Hawks and the Kings and the Breakers will finish exactly where they would have if the season had been normal.
Yeah, I think that's fair to say. And they seem pretty happy. I mean, you read Gorge's comments in that article with Roy Ward, and he said, look, we've got a great place to lift. We can get together and do film work at night. I spoke with Breakers guys this morning. They said, Dan Shamir, you can bet your bottom dollar. Dan Shamir is doing very similar with his squad here in Melbourne. And, they can try to turn it into a competitive advantage. Whereas teams in their home cities at night, everybody goes their separate ways. These teams are eating together. they can come and have another meeting and go through some film work. So if they can turn it into a positive, absolutely. But it was interesting also to read Mitch Jennings in the Illawarra Mercury saying the Hawks, and you would imagine the Kings too, are having these similar conversations. You know, you plan for the worst and you hope for the best. They're planning for an extended time away. They're saying, look, if we have to be here through the start of the season, right down and away from home through into the NBL Cup in February, so be it. 3 months on the road, let's do it. Let's make it a positive and smash our way through.
Because that can work on the side. We fully expect here, and touch wood, of course, if things start to work out in New South Wales and Sydney, but we fully expect them to still play 14 home games, which means if they're jam-packed in the second half of the year, it's when they've been able to work out their roster. We'll get to the Kings injury issue in a minute. If they're able to get going and build momentum with so many home games in the second half of the year, that gives them that almost running start. If they can diminish the damage to the win-loss record on the road, God knows how these two teams are going to be going when the whips are cracking. And we've seen in recent years, the teams playing better later in the year are the ones that have cut the nets.
Every different level will require a different level of you. So again, if you are able to handle and weather this storm and take it and look at it as an advantage, and this is an opportunity for us to grow together. Like you said, most people, what they're doing when they're done at night, you go home to your family. Mm-hmm. It's just us on the road. So it should bring everybody together and they band mm-hmm. together. And as a result, you're going to look better on the court because you actually are playing for each other.
Now, the bigger issue, as I mentioned, I think for the Sydney Kings is the injury to Xavier Cooks. We spoke about it last week and the Kings announced it on the back of NBL Overtime.
The Kings announced it on the back of Xavier Cooks getting hurt. We had no impact on that.
None? No. Okay. Well, there you go. Before NBL Overtime. The fact is that you named three players in the NBL.com.au article. Which way do you think they're leaning?
Right. So we talked about Obiche, of yep. course, the former Adelaide 36er who is from Sydney, mm-hmm. left the team to, you know, look into other interests in the fashion world. His drip. So nice.
Ridiculous. Shout out to Obi. Yes, his drip is so crazy. You put him out the league.
they obviously thought about him because he'd been with the group and he's a guy that can play that role. Venky Joyce is the guy name that always comes up mm-hmm. because playing in the NBA G League, and we saw him for Melbourne United, in these types of situations, he's a guy that teams look at. But the guy that seems to be getting the most amount of buzz is Tom Vodanovic, the former New Zealand breaker, MVP of the New Zealand league during the off-season. And, this guy can really stroke it. I'm not surprised to see the first clip is him catching and shooting from the corner. Watching him in the NBL-NBA games last year, watching him step out from NBA range and knock a couple of down against Memphis, I was very impressed with. Big, strong body. Happy to do the grunt work, doesn't need the ball, and does a lot of this, right? Gets on the offensive glass, throws his weight around, but can also step out and stroke it. Made a big error off the court last season, but well and truly trying to put that behind him. And the sense I'm getting is that the Kings are closing in on bringing him in to be their Xavier Cooks replacement.
I think that would be a great look. You know, we all make mistakes in life. And what you have to do is just show that you've learned from it. So, in his position, for him in offseason to play at a high level, win MVP, he's deserving of this opportunity. And I hope he gets it.
We were surprised a little bit that the Breakers didn't pick him up. Of course, Dan Trist, similar position, I guess. You mentioned, of course, what happened last year. Is that the reason he's not at the Breakers, or is it financial? What was the situation there? Because we talk about as being a good fit for the Kings. He would have been a good fit for the Breakers as well.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, in terms of his skill set, for sure. I mean, obviously, as you say, they went with Dan Trist instead. Dan Shamir is not an easy coach to play for. Now, I mean that because, his systems are specific. He wants guys to remember a whole bunch of plays and not mess them up at practice and make sure that they're executing the way it's... watching him prepare his team over in Memphis, I remember watching the practice session. It was swarming with NBA scouts. And Shamir was like, literally, it was like Lindsey Gaze teaching the shuffle. He's like, no, not there, there. like 2 centimetres over, moving guys to get them in the right spot. So what I'm told is that there was a level of frustration that Vojinovic maybe couldn't execute to that level. Mm-hmm. But look, those question marks aren't a concern for the Kings because they just want him to come in, bring the grit, the grunt, and have a bit of an impact off the bench. And that's the sense that I'm getting that they're going to head in that direction.
Speaking about the Kings and a former King, our man, JT. Well, how cool was it? Of course, interesting couple of days for him. Reportedly in a little disagreement with James Harden at practice, and the game gets cancelled because James Harden goes to a strip club. And then he debuts, and he was brilliant. How fun was it to watch this?
Oh, it was great. Of course, JT, we knew that if he gets his opportunity, he's going to have an impact, but to be able to come out on debut and have this kind of impact and at both ends of the floor as well, knocking down shots from the perimeter, finishing around the rim, over traffic. He's got such a versatile skill set. You can see him advance the ball and get to the rack and doing all the things that he needs to do to have to kind of win himself a consistent role and was a big, big tick for his NBA debut.
The thing that most ball players really want is opportunity, right? You want to show you belong. You believe in yourself, and you've had several opportunities where you had the ball to show what you can do overseas. It's very rare when you get the opportunity to transition to the NBA, you actually have a legit chance. He has that. So the talent, no question. It's literally about give me the ball, give me the minutes, give me a real chance, and I'm going to show you. And that's exactly what he did. And like I said, I put it on my social media. I said, any player that killed in the NBL is NBA ready, period. That's just what I stand by and what I know, and we're seeing it. So it's just great for him and for us. And this is another person who's an alumni. He can testify, and we're seeing it. We're in the middle of this. We're watching this league and players that do well transition everywhere and do well. So I'm not surprised, but I'm glad it's happening.
I know you've got your eyes all over this type of action and Harden and the Rockets and have a great sense for these types of things. What do you think is going to be best for him in his rookie year? For them not to find a trade partner and for Harden to play out the year and for JT to play alongside him, or for him to get shipped out of town and things to get shaken up?
He's going to have to go because he's becoming a serious disruption. A serious disruption, and it's going to hurt the team. So think about this. What happened with the Brooklyn Nets last night? Dinwiddie ACL, right? So that's one less opportunity for that trade to potentially happen. But Harden can come and be that third option in New Jersey. So that thing starts to become really real where, okay, now we can really get Harden. That's going to take pressure off of KD. He's coming from an injury. And yeah, he looks good, but we don't want him to feel like he has to go full throttle all the time. So to have a legitimate third option like Harden, that's a reality now.
But don't you feel like playing alongside Harden benefits Tate in year one? Mm-hmm. Like all the attention that he gets, Tate can roam free and operate in some space.
I get that, but it's more of a disruption with Harden still there. You know, he's gonna have to go. Tate's gonna do what he does. His motor's not gonna change. As long as he's getting his opportunity, he's gonna do his thing.
You can only play dodgeball at practice for so long, right?
Now, the Perth Wildcats, we have continually waited and waited and waited for Bryce Cotton and citizenship. It looks like since the season is right here, it is not gonna happen, at least prior to opening night, which means they need a big. They need an Aussie big. And I did see Tom Jervis back in Perth, yep. 3-time NBL champion. You mentioned him. He signed to play NBL 1 in 2021. How realistic? He essentially retired on a championship a couple of years ago. Yep. How realistic is this that Tom Jervis is their guy?
I think it's very realistic. I mean, I'd be surprised at this point if it didn't play out that way. That's my understanding of what's going on in Perth. And it's going to be very interesting. I mean, these clips are great, right? This is going to be a highlight reel of Tom Jervis catching and finishing down low and, you know, making plays. There he is attacking. Again, yeah, off the offensive glass. He was excellent last time he wasn't on the NBL floor,
yep,
which was in the grand final series against Melbourne 2019. And he really ended up playing over Angus Brandt for a lot of that series, a big chunk of minutes, because of the way he could guard the pick and roll and make life difficult for Casper Ware. But he's been off the floor for quite a considerable amount of time, a year and a half now, essentially. And so it's desperate times call for desperate measures, and that's the situation that the Wildcats are in right now.
But what do they need? Do they need a big bruiser who can come in and play himself into a little bit of form? Or do they need a big guy who's going to be able to score if needed or be a focal point at offense? Because if they need the former, then he's going to be the right guy for it. But if they need the latter, it could take him a little while to get going.
And that's the thing. Mm-hmm. That's going to be the question mark. What type of shape is he in? You take off that long of a break, who are we going to see? So it's a lot of question marks up there. It's really a lot of question marks with Perth and the moves that they've been making. I know they heavily relied on, obviously, citizenship, mm-hmm. but this is the latter. Like, it hasn't come to fruition. So what do we do now? So it's a scramble for them. And
keeping in mind, that's an ongoing situation as well. So as we have said, almost since we, Bryce Cotton, who joined us, probably April, was it? Maybe May, whenever it might have been. It's been like a day-by-day situation. So it's ongoing. It ain't over. It just means they need to get ready for opening night in a different way, which I'm 100% certain that Trevor Gleeson and the crew haven't been sitting back going, we'll get the citizenship, so we'll be fine. But
do you know what?
We sit here.
I get a strong sense that's exactly what's happened.
Really?
You look at the way this has all played out over the course of the off-season, and it feels very much like the eggs have all been put in that basket. Look, it's gonna happen, just wait for it, and when that happens, we'll bring in Plums, and the roster will fit perfectly. And we all feel like it, you know, that is the bit that will bring it all together. But you're right, it hasn't happened. Now I feel like the eggs are in the basket of, well, we gotta scramble. But as we know, if the papers do come through mid-season, they can switch it up and make it happen on the run.
They've been the best franchise for 30 years. If they sat around waiting for something that no one has really any control over outside of the federal government or the immigration department, I'd be stunned.
Well, I just want to flag one other thing about all of this.
Hit.
I would have liked them to have seen them go harder on classifying John Mooney as a next star way back when they signed him. This is a guy who, when you look at the situation with Justinian Jessett being classified as a next star, okay, he did get drafted in the end, but those two guys, I mean, this guy led the NCAA in double-doubles last year. You know, led the NCAA in defensive rebounding, second in rebounding overall. That's a guy, I mean, Jessett was a four-year collegiate, so if he's going to get classified as a next star, I feel like that they didn't go hard enough on making that happen. I flagged at the time that perhaps there was concern about putting him up as a potential for any other teams. I just wanted to lock him away. But if he was a next star, it would solve a whole bunch of those roster issues. And I think the question needs to be asked, was that looked into strongly enough and, you know, pushed for to make happen?
Speaking of their roster, Luke Travers was really impressive. Started in the preseason a couple of games a couple of weeks ago when he watched them take on the Hawks. And you did flag in your depth chart as him being a starter on opening night. And you did ask the question, to which I don't have the answer to, when was the last time a DP started on opening night? I'm going to say this will be the first.
I think it might be. I asked the stat man.
That's not official, by the way, my answer. I'm just assuming.
The big fella said, "Mom, I'm trying to enjoy my Christmas." And look, he looked into things. He said, look, I think the broader question is, can you remember a DP starting any
ever
good NBL call regular season game? I mean, I can't. Certainly it didn't happen last season. They're going to need to work out some things within their roster. Now, the obvious thing is Mooney has to start at the five, right? You can't start Jervis if he's the guy, or you can't start Ferguson, that DP at the five. So Mooney has to start at the five. Who plays at the four? Now, I think they would look at Jesse Wagstaff, who really has never started over the course of his NBL career and has been that impact guy off the bench, and say, we want to keep him there. I think the role that Clint Steindl plays off the bench for that team is perfect. So I think you'd want to keep those two guys there and roll out the starting unit that they had in those preseason games, which was Norton, Cotton, Blanchfield, and Travers. Now, is Travers the four? Is Blanchfield the four? Look, it doesn't really matter. He's 6'8", 6'9", big kid. Those guys will be switchable on the perimeter. But He's a kid loaded with talent, and I think it's the look that works better with the roster that they've got.
I'm excited to see him play. We talked about him before a couple of weeks ago, and tremendous talent. The same like Tate. Kid can play. He just wants the opportunity, and he's going to be presented the opportunity. Now it's on him to show that he belongs and he can play at a high level.
Speaking of opportunity, Dane Penaud really worked himself into that Southeast Melbourne Phoenix lineup last year. Had a great NBL one season. Of course, big Keith Benson didn't work out. And Dane Penaud had an outstanding year. We flagged it last week. He didn't travel to Brisbane. And then I see in your article, the back issues are going to keep him out. How much out? Like, are we talking season? Are we talking half a season? Do we have any idea?
I get the sense we're going to learn more over the course of this week out of the Southeast Melbourne Phoenix camp. But yeah, the signs are pretty concerning that he's going to miss a chunk of time. Probably not to the extent like the Xavier Cooks and 3 to 4 months type of thing. But they haven't had him on the floor for a period of time, Southeast Melbourne. And that's an issue for a couple of different reasons. One, to have him ready to go for the start of the season, but also you need some big bodies out there at practice, right? And Yanni Wetzel needs to bang against some big bodies. And the guys need to go up, you know, they need to go up against rim protectors on the practice floor, because when they get out there against Colton Iverson and Jarrell Martin and these types of guys, they need to be ready. So they're going to need to do some moving and shaking. I get the sense Dane Penaud's not going to be ready for opening night.
That's unfortunate because of the year that he just came off of. You know, we were all high on him. We were all proud to see him get that opportunity and do well. And we all wanted to see next season. You know, you see the transition and the growth continue. And, you know, it's unfortunate right now, the injury, because, you know, the back's no joke. Mm.
He did exactly what you do a lot, not just on this show, but on your social media as well, taking opportunities when they're presented and taking them as far. And he did that last year. And hopefully, and it sucks because we've all been sitting around. We've been sitting around waiting to watch. He's been sitting around working, you know, in the gym as well. He was off season and with those informal scrimmages. So he's been working, busting his backside to make sure that he backs it up this year. So Dano, good luck and hope you get back on the court healthy very, very shortly. All right.
Well, we're talking about opportunity, right? And Luke Travers and getting the opportunity to step perhaps into the starting lineup, play a chunk of minutes. Injuries all over the place offer those types of opportunities, and that's going to happen at Southeast Melbourne. Now, do they look outside what they've currently got?
No, Johnny time.
Well, yeah, in terms of minutes, yeah, but in terms of the roster,
yeah,
they've had Dave Anderson at practice for a period of time, so he could be a guy to slot in. But we got a bit of a look at their new DP, Tristan Forsyth, 6'10 guy out of the University of Hawaii, in those matchups against the Bullets. Now, Froling kind of gave him a little introduction to NBL standard basketball, but he's a big boy, and I think there's a chance they might look at him as a guy to elevate into the roster for a period of time.
Now, NBL.com.au, check out Liam's article that went live yesterday. Just quickly, talking opportunities, you think Sean Bruce is going to start for the Kings?
Do you like it? Alongside Casper Ware?
Oh, Casper goes to the two. Mm. Look, I'm a Sean Bruce fan, and he can definitely handle that load as a starting point guard. So that's what they're rolling with. No problems at all.
Yeah, I get the sense that's what they did in their preseason clash with the Hawks. And who's the one? Who's the two? Does it really
matter? Doesn't even matter.
It doesn't matter. Like, you find the right matchups. They're both high-level defenders, so that won't be an issue at the other end of the floor. And they're both unselfish guys. They can score, but they can find other players. And I quite like it as a way to start, and it does. I mean, he was a best six man candidate last year. It takes him out of that role, opportunity for him to step up, and I think we could be looking for that at the start of the season.
Andre Lemanis, of course, making sure that the Brisbane Bullets are ready in a couple of weeks' time, but also in discussions for the Latvian national team. Now, this doesn't mean that Kristaps Porzingis is going to be the new Brisbane Bullets import, but it means that Andre Lemanis
one step closer
will get, yes, most definitely, gets in his ear at training camp. It does mean that he gets, or looks like he's on the verge of getting another opportunity to coach at the international level. Now, do you know much about it?
Well, I got my Google Translate happening, right? Somebody slipped me and said, hey, look, this is what's being reported out of Latvia. So the Google translation kind of helped out a little bit. I'm not sure how much that can be trusted. But then I did speak to some people behind the scenes. And this is happening. I mean, these conversations are happening for sure. Latvian Basketball Union reached out to Andre. We know he's of Latvian descent. Mm-hmm. His parents, fascinating story, actually. His parents were both born in Latvia and they fled during World War II when the Soviets came across the border, fled to Germany. Were in Germany during World War II. And at the end of the war, they got stuck on the Russian side and were heading off to Russia, and things got turned around at the last moment. They came across to the Allies' side and ended up coming to Australia. Remarkable backstory. But Latvian Basketball obviously know Andre Lemanis has that kind of heritage. Reached out to him initially to say, we like what you've done in Australian basketball from top to bottom. You know, from a development program and with the juniors all the way through, and we would like to bring something like that here in Latvia. And the conversations have expanded to potentially also include the head coaching position. Now, they currently have a head coach who is locked in to coach that team through the February FIBA window. But beyond that, who knows? I've flagged on this show before, the level of respect and regard for Andre Lemanis internationally is really, really high. People have been very impressed with what he's done with the Boomers over a period of time, and I'm not at all surprised to see teams or countries, especially Latvia, come knocking at his door.
Just on that, before I let you go, this is not going to affect the Brisbane Bullets campaign this year at all, right?
I'm assured it won't.
Okay, cool, fire away.
You put the work in, the results will come. From top to bottom, what he has been able to do. Now look, I just got back here. So you know the history way more than I do in terms of the Boomers and just his whole pedigree, right? That's what he does. Mm. He develops, and years later, you're gonna see an incredible growth in the body of work and what he touches. That's what he does. As you know, teams hate playing against Australia because they know this is no walk in the park. We may beat them, but it's not an easy W. You are coming to work. Your best players have to show up to beat us. And that's respect. So yes, he had to step down for whatever reason with the Boomers, but the rest of the world respects him and his body of work. So opportunities will always present themselves. It's just a matter of if he wants it.
And this is not dissimilar, this is not dissimilar to the conversations we have about how you play well in the NBL, you coach well in the NBL, there's opportunities. Traditionally, it has been the NBA in our conversations recently, but this is the exact perfect example. You do, as he has, an amazing job with the Boomers, oh so close to medals at Olympics and World Cups, the Bullets, development and all the rest of it. And while it's not the NBA in this particular conversation, it's an incredible job that if he does in fact work out getting it in the future, well and truly deserves, and will do a great job doing it.
The interesting part about, you asked whether it would impact on his role with the Bullets this season. He is 1 year down, 1 year into what he signed a new 3-year deal with the Bullets after they made the playoffs and got swept by the Wildcats. So there's 2 years remaining on that deal. I'm assured it won't impact this year, but if those talks develop, right, if Latvia fall over in this next window and that coach has moved on and they try to bring in and they get Andre in, what does that mean for the final year of his contract with Brisbane? I can't see a way that you could do that job in Latvia that they're talking about and continue to coach the Bullets. So there could be some movement at that station when that time comes down the road. A guy like CJ Bruton is sitting in that lead assistant chair and might be looking at an opportunity. You never know.
All right, hashtag NBL overtime to get involved. We're about to get out of here. A couple of little things. Make sure you read the article because NBL.com.au opening night, we're getting excited. I do, and I reckon we'll touch on this next week. You got Josh Giddey at the three. That's more of a defensive situation, right?
Yeah, big boy, 6'8" now.
Yeah.
So if you're going to start Sloane
without shoes, I see his dad was really pushed on Twitter last week.
If you're going to start Sloane and Deck, Giddey's going to find himself guarding a lot of threes, but of course he's going to be operating out of pick and rolls and making a whole bunch of plays for that.
And team. The snag pit. We've got to push it. I want to see a signed snag pit there. Of course, it's going to be rocking on New Year's Eve as well. The Taipans, Melbourne United are travelling to Cairns. Of course, they traditionally play New Year's Eve, so looking forward to that. So make sure you do not miss that NBL TV and all through socials.
Scotty Hobson out of quarantine. He'll be with the group on New Year's Eve. Lamar Patterson in quarantine, yes. Just probably down the road here in Melbourne, should be coming
out
soon.
It's all happening. We got to go. We are NBL Overtime. Hashtag NBL Overtime. Look at this. Skyhook.
Peace.